Arr, Grog.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sideshow Podcast with Carrie Warbis and Matthew Weir. So, guys, how have you been this week? No, not this week. 2 weeks.
Yeah, we missed you, Peter. I know we sort of only mentioned you right at the end. Were you offended by that?
Well, you might have noticed I left my name out at the beginning as a little... pointed barb. Yeah, no, it was nice. Maybe it was your way of testing whether I actually listen, make me schlep through 55 minutes of you of this nonsense to finally find out that you thought of me. But yeah, no, it was really good. I enjoyed it. I actually, every time I listen to one of the ones that I'm not on, I think, oh, this is vastly superior product. And you two do a fantastic job.
Well, Pat Brown and Peter Bowker missed you. Because they said so on Twitter. They didn't tell me and Matthew that, like, but I noticed it.
Well, I mean, if Pat misses you, that's like, you know, that's gold standard, isn't it?
Yep.
We've got a big history with Pat. Do I have to have two Pat jingles? No, we can stick with one. Sorry, Pat, you don't get your own jingle. Should we do a quick ad break and then come back with some waffle?
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Right, so how much do we think Rosie weighs then? 42, 39, 56?
Very good, Peter.
Thank you. Matthew, I was thinking of you when I I thought I've got to do that one before Matthew does.
I don't get that.
It's the statistics of the girl in Whole Lot of Rosie.
Is it?
Yeah, she ain't exactly pretty. She ain't exactly small. 42, 39, 56. You could say she's got it all.
Ooh. Do you know a family from Sydney, I think successfully sued AC/DC because fans thought that they were being given a phone number to call from that, and they kept calling this suburban house somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. And, I think the family got quite riled about it.
Because Skies a UK on Twitter suggested we call the episode Whole Lot of Rosie this week.
It's funny, isn't it? Because last week, you and I, Kerry, were saying that we got slightly confused over who Poppy and Rosie was. And we also bemoaned the fact that we hadn't heard from Toby in a while. And then we got an interlocking Toby, Rosie, Poppy storyline this week out of nowhere.
Who should we mention this week? And then they'll appear next week.
Oh, joy.
And Lee.
Yeah.
Joe Grundy.
Otto the Bull, bring him back.
Phil Archer, Jack.
Bert Fry.
In all seriousness, if you could have a character back, you know, who's either died or buggered off, I might have what's a chops, who's moved to Birmingham. We got sent to Birmingham for with Bethany. Mike's wife.
Betty.
No, and the brassy, loud woman who everyone hated and Kirsty hated. Have I gone mad?
No, what the f*** is her name though? Look, we did this last week with Rosie and Poppy.
People think this is our brand now, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Yeah.
What was her name? Mike and...
It's Vicky, wasn't it?
There you go.
Well done. Thank You've just looked that up, Matthew.
No, because she was she got a mention not that long ago.
She's exactly who I want Rosie to grow up to be. Big, buxom, you know, beefy, sort of loud, Vicky.
I think I'd like Nelson Gabriel to return.
These are the moments when I think you're...
Is it too old?
No, but you've listened to it for just that tiny bit longer than me. Or the fact that when he was around, I think I was probably, you know, it was on in my mum's kitchen, so I probably wasn't quite as aware of the characters. So I don't really have any proper memories of Nelson Gabriel.
Someone did ask me recently if Nelson Gabriel was still in it, because they knew that I did this about the Archers, and I said that he wasn't, and he was also a little bit before my time as well.
Yeah, you would have liked him. He ran a bar, a Nelson's Wine Bar.
Oh, yeah, I would have liked him.
And he had a very good voice.
Was this the wine bar where Elizabeth emptied a glass of wine over the top of the senior Fairbrothers' father when they were on a date?
Quite possibly, yes. I don't know about that. But no, he was very, very good. Anyway, you can tell this week was quite iffy if we're talking about loads of dead people and people who aren't in it anymore.
Who would you most want to reanimate in Ambridge?
I mean, the obvious joke is, well, let's start with a few of the ones actually in the show.
yeah, Adam was in it as well, wasn't he, this week? Yeah.
To be honest, I know this is sacrilege in front of Kerry, but I really feel like Adam has been so far off the top spot for most annoying character these days. He's way down the list. I mean, your man George is currently number one. I know it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, it's like Leicester taking the title for one season. They're never going to have it again. So maybe George is just this one week. But it was kind of hinted at that he really is a proper bellend, wasn't it? When Eddie was like, oh, yeah, he's crafty or something when he was talking to Oliver.
He's clever, all right.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah. I think George is going to be like the nasty Nick of the new era Archers, isn't he?
He's like, I wrote in brackets, evil Chris. That's what he sounds like.
Ultimate damnation.
Even more evil, Chris.
The two of them, the interchange between him and Brad, I just felt like I was watching Fellowship of the Ring when all the hobbits were still in the Shire. That's what their accents reminded me of, the back and forth between the two of them.
Mm. Yeah.
Starting to...
I think they were both very well acted in that scene, did you?
Yes, yes.
Mm.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's a compliment to the actor that, you know, you dislike George so much, because he boosted the script, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think Brad did the kind of understated, setback, slightly lower register of voice really, really well. He's thoughtful, isn't he? You can tell. Mm. And you just really warmed to him, I think. I was really rooting for him. He nearly f***ed it with Oliver, didn't he? But...
He did. Well, but then come the end of tonight's episode, he's almost had his turning point, has he? I mean, Chelsea was trying to turn him against Oliver. George was trying to turn him against Oliver. But we were led to believe he had the emotional intelligence and sensitivity to see through it. Mm. And then he turned up at the end of tonight, and Oliver thought he was doing everyone a solid by buying this automaton to help them with the bailing, and it's ended up costing poor Brad his job.
Yeah, Brad marches on Oliver's house like the, you know, like Neil Ludd. but yeah, it's a you know, bit of old school humor there, if Brad's being touted as a sort of man of substance and intelligence, like, you know, he's thick as pig shit if he can't work out that it's not Oliver doing. Oliver might have done, you know, if he can't work out that Oliver doing them a favor is not the same thing as him purposefully trying to do Brad over. Like, it's an unfortunate coincidence. Like, he can't be cross with Oliver about it.
I think he's a bit torn though, isn't he? He's being pulled left, right, and centre. About, because Chelsea was awful, wasn't she? It really pisses me off when they do this. Why was she at Brad and bickering so much? Why are they enemies so much? That was bloody annoying this week.
Are there any siblings that just get on in a straightforward sense? I guess Tom and Helen.
Yes.
All of the siblings are. So there's always some kind of antagonism, isn't there?
I thought you meant in real life. Sorry.
No. No. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. If you get on with your siblings, please write to us at hello@thesideshed.com.
Because we've never met any.
But yeah, it does get a bit tiresome. It's like it's a bit of a lazy trope that they kind of, you know, well, they make hay with it, don't they, to go back to Brad and George.
Yeah, but you'd think that Chelsea, you would really hope, could, based on other signs we've seen about her, sort of looking out for others, why is she against Brad, really? You'd think, because, you know, Tracy's on her uppers, that they'd be really rooting for each other.
She's that protective of Tracy that she has to consider Oliver to be the enemy. And then once Brad is showing that he's having some kind of good time with Oliver, Chelsea pounces on that. And I know she shouldn't be giving him a hard time about it. Even Tracy was trying to pull her back a bit, wasn't she?
Yeah, I think she's got a fair point. Like, we need to be careful here. But I think it's how she speaks to him. You know, that sort of, all right, you really in his face. And you think, just explain it in a normal voice. He's sitting at the table next to you.
Kerry, you do realise that was absolutely bang on impression of Chaz and Dave doing Rabbit.
I love Chaz and Dave.
Oh, yeah. Going to Margate. Driving to Margate is, oh, that's one of my favourites.
Do you play it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah,
down love to Margate.
Shall I go?
What?
What did you say, Matthew?
I said, shall I go? You two were just going to start doing a Chaz and Dave like concert.
Now, you must like them, Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, again, I was quite young when they popped up. My friend Andy, who listens to us, was a massive fan. He used to go and see them a lot in the last few years that they were touring. I once heard them. Mm. I'm not going to say where, but yeah, I did hear them playing live, but I just couldn't get up off my back at the time to go and see them.
Oh, really?
I could hear them drifting across the field, yeah.
Matthew in a K-hole.
It's a special kind of festival that's got Chaz and Dave playing. That's the kind of festival I'd like to go to.
Oh, it was Glastonbury 97. No, 2007. 2007.
Ah.
Yeah, I could hear them playing. It was wild. They started doing like some real old like soul numbers and stuff like that. It was really not what I expected.
Bloody cracking. Oh, that reminds me as well. We can do a funny segue now into pizza vans only being suitable for music festivals, not fates.
Yeah, too grungy.
Yeah, grungy.
And do you know, I spent at least 17 minutes trying to come up with a Nirvana pizza joke and it ain't coming.
I mean, that's just nonsense though, isn't it? I mean, we went to last year, one of the first times I didn't do the pod since we started was when I went to our first hot, you know, we went to camping, and I remember coming back and telling you guys that there was like a big, basically like a food village at the campsite, you know, like pizza, and there was a pizza van there. I mean, that's,
I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, but that's sort of symptomatic of just how ubiquitous they are now. It makes complete sense. I think Ian and Adam are thick as pig shit, but I think it's a really good business move.
Yeah. For the WI to be up in arms and writing to committees and wanting it banned, I mean, Jesus, give us a break.
Mm.
Honestly. And Adam's sort of going, oh, well, maybe we'll do the launch somewhere else. Susan just not allowing it.
Matthew, as our petty behaviour in village life correspondent, what do you think there's any truth to it? Because sometimes I think Kerry and I, being metropolitan elites, can, you know, be, you know, go a little bit, you know, off centre on this, and then you correct us or send us evidence of life from rural England.
The very existence of a pizza, wood-fired pizza van, or the fact that the Women's Institute would take issue with it being at the fate?
Both.
Oh, I mean, it's entirely possible it could happen. Yeah, it could get quite territorial, I think. I can't remember of specific examples, but I think there's been a bit of a turf war with different food trucks at different events around that part of Gloucestershire before. But, I mean, what's he going to do to win over? So Susan said she's going to make it her mission to make this a success. Her idea was that, you know, she told him, turn on the charm. And Adam went, you're joking. And I think everyone listening was like, yeah, you are joking, aren't you?
Yeah. He has to flick that switch on the motherboard. Charm. Deploy the charm. There's no way, though, that's not directly competing with Victoria sponges and pots of tea, is it? Why would they be bothered?
Pure snobbery, I think, isn't it?
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't think Susan's suggestion to hit them with the pizza is going to help, is it? That's what she said. Go in, bow, then scrape, then hit him with your pizza. It's like imagining like a full-on goat's cheese and asparagus and honey pizza in the face of Gene Harvey or
Vic and Bob Pan with the full sound effects. Just before we move away from Susan, I absolutely loved her sort of like resume. Where she was dropping in her work as a, you know, award-winning DJ and all the rest of it. It was just fun. Anything where you get Susan kind of like, you know, really
blowing her own trumpet.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Packaging consultant has now been added to her bio as well, hasn't it?
Didn't you enjoy her lording it over Helen? I got a little bit of a buzz out of that.
I got the impression she was reading. She had her phone on her lap with Wiki open and she was basically reading what gel-based ice packs and whatever that other thing was. Kiln dried
wood wool. It looks like sort of straw basically, but it's kind of like woody strawy bits.
But they were including postcards that Henry had drawn of the cows in with the cheese to give their customers a warm fuzzy feeling. I was like, well, the cheese arrived melted, they've already got a warm fuzzy feeling.
And they all have to write on these postcards. This isn't practical. If they're going to actually sell a lot of cheese, it's like book signings. You know, they'll have to do batches of postcards.
Like Nick Cave does. He sells off signed postcards, doesn't he, on his website? They're stealing Nick Cave's business model, as far as I can tell.
Because when they were saying, you don't want to put personal stuff out there on them interwebs, you know, you'll have your identity stolen and things. I was thinking, maybe Clary hasn't told the Universal Credit that she's got this job or something, and suddenly the Dole will be after her.
I did wonder why Clary was so touchy about that. I mean, who else? Who's going to steal Clary? What would you do with Clary's identity?
Sell it to Helen.
Well, Blockbuster's shut now, isn't it? So you wouldn't be able to get any videos out. I mean, that's about it, isn't it?
You'd have a rum time trying to sort of use her bank balance, wouldn't you?
Yeah, there might be a couple of carnets from her trip to Paris left in her purse that you could use or something. I don't know.
but the cheese business, how casually they're going, oh, yes, we will get the buffaloes quite soon. But, you know, we've just got to get the internet social media situation. What was it? Build on our current customer base. Just how Helen speaks about the whole... And she was really snappy at Clary and Susan as well. She's bloody horrible.
You do realise this plot is the perfect intersection of our three worlds, or one of Matthew's former worlds. So Matthew, his former life as a chef, Kerry's current life as a food delivery entrepreneur, and my kind of ongoing, sort of digital marketing stuff.
Yeah.
Hence our ability to comfortably label it as a crock of shit.
Yes, exactly. this might be the one time that we can actually be vaguely authoritative and confidently so on any topic. Everything else, like, for instance, later on we'll talk about horse molesting, whatever it is they're doing at the foot of the stable.
That was before I was a chef.
Oh, sorry, Matthew. You've had such a varied career. I forgot about your years as a horse gigolo. Although you wouldn't have, you know, like when it got too hot, you'd have to take the costume off and then in for a nasty surprise.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Peter. This is the only thing we know anything about.
Yeah, so.
I thought they were suggesting there would be a collaboration between Adam, Ian and the Women's Institute because Susan said, hand them your pizza and then they'll fold. And I'm like, oh, they're going to make calzone.
Yes, they said lay it on thick.
There was a million pizza gags in there, weren't there?
Yeah, I like the calzone. I don't like a calzone pizza, do you?
You know, I've got family in the sort of south of Europe, and when we used to drive down there and we go to Italy, and I used to that was the best thing in the world for me, because I think it just was like it meant like adulthood, you know, like being able to order a calzone. Everyone else is having their, you know, boring unfolded pizza, and that was, I would always go for that.
Mm. But I don't even know how to pronounce it. I said calzone.
Well, I think I was just pronouncing it how they pronounce it on like Parks and Recreation.
Ah.
Yeah, I was taking the pronunciation from Seinfeld, which is calzone.
But you're talking to a girl here who likes pineapple on pizza, so.
Pretending to be upset about what people, you know, about like pineapple pizzas, it's just a nonsense.
Yeah, it's attention seeking, isn't it?
Yes, precisely.
Domino's Portugal here just did a week of promotion called Anana Sem Vergonha, which is pineapple without shame. And they did six different pineapple style pizzas.
Shame it's Domino's, though.
Yeah. And then they got lots of comments underneath saying, like, the person who came up with this idea has no shame.
Oh, I'm with them, though. Yeah. Do you think Rosie likes a calzone?
Stuffed crust.
Stuffed crust, yeah.
To be fair, because I know the Archers is supposed to be, you know, teach us a few things every now and again. I did have a little think about my wee boy's diet. I was like, when I was listening to that plot, I was like, maybe we could do better. I mean, he, by the way, you know, not that it would matter, and I'm not trying to fat shame Rosie, but he doesn't have to worry.
And wiry, isn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry.
I think Ben could have off with that comment, though. I thought that was appalling. Just because he's been like a few minutes at medical school, he's marching about telling parents that their kids are tubby.
Yes, and he basically described what a prick he was being, because he's like, we've just done a module on. It's like, precisely, Ben. You just said it, didn't you? We've just done a module on, not a 3-year course in nutrition, not even a one semester term in nutrition, a module on.
Yeah, but he has lifted her up to take her out of a paddling pool or whatever it was.
I reckon he was kind of a bit distracted and he was trying to lift David out and got his wires crossed.
Well, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? The theory that David is a chunky monkey.
But yeah, well, with what's her face? What's her name? Jill, that's it. The cake maker. Perhaps they're all chunky monkeys. The whole lot of them. Never stop eating bloody lemon drizzle.
Mm. So who are the village fatties that we know about? Rosie, Shula.
Neil?
Do you think Neil?
Formerly Mike.
Oh, Mike, yeah. Mike, the diabetes
Mike
person.
Mike just who showed up and decided to eat everything in the entire village and possibly some people as well, and then left again.
And Brian occasionally gets fat-shamed by Jenny.
Does he?
Well, she occasionally has a little word about his consumption.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He likes a buffet, doesn't he?
Yeah, he never says no
he's
to food.
He's always picking at everything. Yeah,
and he does have a massive coronary, which does sort of hint that he's not exactly, you know, hitting the...
I can imagine Clary being quite... voluptuous,
but it's interesting because, like, I thought Tracy was probably quite a big lady until Jazza ogled her pert derriere over the you know the rack of soups in the shop.
Yeah, he did. The uniform that Rosie couldn't fit into, was that the one that was brought round, the secondhand one? Or
yes.
Okay. So I just thought Pip was so weird this week.
I just thought, what's to say that just kids aren't slightly different proportions at the same age? You know, like there were certainly kids in my school that would have had shorter trousers than me and longer trousers than me. Mm. I don't know about waist size and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, they just said that nothing would fit her. I thought it was all a bit odd, that.
She's going to be doing well at tennis because Kyrgios, what's his name, was a little nugget, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was, wasn't he? Yeah, Max showed me a photograph of him when he was younger, when we were watching the final. It was funny when Pip was like, how did I not notice? I feel I've let her down. And you think, well, you barely see her. You're always passing her off to people. And would you give Cyrus sausage and mash for lunch? It's more of an evening thing, isn't it?
I don't know. This is, I was actually curious to get your opinion on this, Kerry, because I think when your kids are Rosie's age and you know my little boy's age, you're just desperate to get food in them. So if they're they go through a phase of liking sausages and mash, you'll make them sausage and mash again and again and again, because. Like it's not like a fussiness thing, but just sort of they can sometimes be a bit kind of like, no, not in the mood for that. And then you're left with a, you know. Mm. So, yeah, he likes sausages at the moment, so he gets lots of sausages. But then you just have to pay a fortune for the, you know, the posh ones.
Yeah, no Richmonds at your house.
Well, I mean, I'm allowed them. He's not, though.
Mm. Yeah, that, I mean, that was a bit of a clunky scene. Was like, I don't know how much butter you're putting in that mash.
Did you, like me, given how long Toby had been away, think that's a new actor for a bit?
Oh.
Because I don't think it is a new actor, but there was I thought he sounded different.
I didn't twig with that, to be honest with you. No. It was just weird having him back.
Yeah.
No, I think it's definitely the same actor. A lot of people were saying the same about Pip, that she sounded different, but I was like, no, that's
no
definitely
way.
Her. When she told Ben, if you say that again, I'll kill you. She's about one of the only people in the show that says that, and you think, actually, she might mean it.
Yeah.
Which of the scenes from Seven would she inflict on Ben? I mean, gluttony is kind of like sort of like rather obvious punishment.
Luckily, I've managed to blank nearly everything from Seven out of my mind. I've mentioned it here on the podcast before, but it took me a long time to get round to seeing it for no particular reason. But my entire team at work had already seen it and told me a series of endings. None of them turned out to be true. There was one where someone told me Gwyneth Paltrow had done it, and I spent the whole of the movie, because he was the most convincing, and I spent the whole of the movie being like, how can this be? And then at the end, I was like, oh no, she didn't do it.
That's the thing, isn't it? Now, when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, no, poor Gwyneth's dead. And now I'll be watching it going, good. Good, Gwyneth's dead.
Make her head into a bollocking candle.
I've just remembered someone tweeting about, Justin, and because they put a little insert, didn't they, about Lillian saying about Justin, I don't know why he hasn't been put forward to be prime minister or something.
Yeah, he's a big enough... Yeah.
Exactly. I think they were making that point, weren't they? Mm. Which was quite clever, I thought. And it wasn't his bloody idea anyway. But I was thinking, out of us three, who would make a good prime minister?
Definitely Peter.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Like, are we talking about actually doing a good job? Or someone who could be electable?
I can just see you avoiding, batting away questions on Sophie Ridge like a boss.
Oh, but your advantage is, Matthew, you all of your skeletons don't live in your closet. They're dancing free on the festival. Like every week you air another one. So there's no real, you'd be like the kind of honesty candidate. It's like, yep, here you are. Here are my policies. This is how I do things.
That first season of The Thick of It, where they're doing like a little practice session about how he's going to cope on Newsnight. And he's like, just ask me some more difficult questions. And the guy goes, where's the Nazi gold, you monkey shagger?
Oh dear, it's all absolutely revolting, isn't it? This whole, I know we're not a political programme, but the wheeling out of the candidates and, oh.
The good thing about living abroad for a bit, as I've been lucky enough to do a few times, is that it makes you appreciate your country more, but it also reveals some of the absolutely bananas things that go on, right? I mean, you get it a bit when you go like travelling for a while, but just looking at our political system now, like the idea that the populace is just going to go to bed now, not angry, but like a lot of the populace, having had a bunch of people who they're not going to get to vote for debating about being prime minister is absolute madness. That no one's just going, well, excuse me, if they're not, you know, why the hell are they on my television? Well, it's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre.
I must admit, I've tuned out of it since this whole leadership thing started. I have tuned out. I haven't been listening. I pick up little bits from the news. Who's the front runner now? I'm kind of lost in it.
Rishi, I think, and that Mordaunt woman.
Yeah, but we should. I mean, I could do 5 hours on this topic. So yeah. I need to shut up.
I think it was because Justin was, you know, mentioned as a possible contender.
Oh, it's a brilliant observation. Yeah, it's absolutely bang on. I mean, like he's definitely. He's everything that's wrong with the Tory party, isn't he, Justin? Like, just look at the way that he was treating Shula. Like, before he knew the facts, he was making assumptions. He made some quite sort of unpleasant and untrue comments about, like, her involvement and his involvement and how it should play out. I mean, it was everything that's wrong with kind of a patrician, mansplainy, white, stale male and pale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way Alice won him round was to flatter him and to basically wave, I was going to say pound notes, they don't exist anymore, but just wave the cash in his vulgar face.
Mm.
And she said that equine-assisted therapy, she experienced that some people in her rehab had benefited for it. And that's the only time in rehab that they encourage you to get back on the horse.
Yes.
But he was horrible about it, wasn't he? I mean, Lillian had to go there first, didn't she say? He's on the warpath. And I think, was it Shula said, what's his problem? It's like, well, he's Justin, isn't he?
Yeah. Why are you married to someone where you have to run to your mates to warn them about him?
That's a very good point. That's a very, very good point.
It's not right, is it? Is it because they're in a soap?
Yes.
Oh.
We've cracked it.
God, phew.
And you would get there in the end.
I do suffer with how worked up I get about the Archers. Like, I'm like, but come on, Peter, it is just a soap opera. But then you have to invest in it or it wouldn't be any fun, right? Like, that's the only amusement you get, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You have to sort of take it very, very seriously, get really over-emotional about it. It's pure bollocks anyway, isn't it, essentially?
A lot more recently.
Really big, fat, hairy, sweaty bollocks.
I can't remember when it was, Kerry, but it was definitely in your company when I was told that the guys from EastEnders had taken over the kind of production of it.
Ah, really? I can't remember. I like how people have been referring to it as Anne Bridgerton as well recently. I thought that was quite clever.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely getting like the fact that we've mentioned this before, the fact that there are more off mic characters who are coming on mic, the fact that they're sort of, they do.
Coming on mic? Who's that then?
Matthew, in your
camp. That's Vicky.
Yeah.
You've already mentioned her.
It is.
You forgot twice in one show what her name is. Jesus Christ.
It's getting a lot more sort of racy and kind of like dramatic, isn't it? The whole thing. Or is it just me?
Yeah, there'll be an aircraft sort of landing on Grey Gables just as it's renovated, won't there, probably?
I mean, there's already been an explosion. I was predicting that because there was Clary said if the pizza van can get through the fate, then everything will be fine. So I was expecting some kind of disaster there, like it catches fire or something.
Ian experimenting with his flambé pizza.
Yeah,
and he sets fire to a bunch of village children.
Oh, it would be really good if they somehow gave the whole of the fate some sort of terrible dysentery, wouldn't it? Or some food poisoning issue.
One thing I did like, actually, if we were saying that we were bristling a bit at Chelsea's nastiness towards Brad. She isn't going to charge Russ for a haircut because he's a mate. That made me feel quite good.
I know. And he says, I'm better than any proper hairdresser or something.
Do you think that's how Russ sees it?
Yeah, I think he has a real fondness, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because he used to go to Borchester Buzzcuts or something.
Yeah.
He's not going full Russ, is he?
No.
And to be fair, you are right, Kerry, because Lily, her nose was put out a joint a bit, wasn't it, by just how well him and Chelsea got on.
Mm.
And also, he did give up quite a lot of his time to sort of support her, didn't he, when she needed some help with her studies.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I'm playing catch-up, I'm being thick. So,
that's all right.
Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely. No, it does make sense, doesn't it? Because she actually owes him quite big time.
Yeah. What a lovely pairing. They are. Well, unless she's mouthing off. I don't like mouthing off, Chelsea.
I'm not saying that young people are like this, but it's a characteristic that's more prevalent with young people, right? The idea that she's sort of a bit more inconsistent, she flies off the handle. She's quite a well-rounded character, and the fact that she's got, I don't like it when she's a bit of a tit, but it is realistic that she would have all these different sort of facets. And she is such a likable character as well. I mean, Tracy as well. Tracy's no pushover. And I do like the way that their accents kind of interlock. They're very, very believable as a mother and daughter.
Oh, chickpea curry. That sounds awful.
But lasagna curry today.
Was that made with chickpeas as well, though? I was worrying.
Because Chelsea was like, oh my God, OMG, amazing. when she was told she was having lasagna for dinner.
I know those little hints at their struggles. You know, no one wants chickpea curry, really, do they?
No,
as a main meal.
There's definitely certain foodstuffs that you only eat when you're either completely skint or you're minted.
Yes,
as part of a diet. It's like, you know, I did. Okay, I was about to do one of my absolute most. But I know I can be really dull. But I was about to go for.
Oh, go on, Peter. I like it. Go on. What was it?
I found out the other day you can make tofu out of chickpeas.
Can you be asked?
This is the thing. I was looking at tofu presses on Amazon. 20 quid.
You probably can, can't you?
I really can be asked. I see, that's my jam.
Well, have a go.
Yeah, okay. Watch this spot, listeners. Now I've got to do a tofu talkling jingle. Actually, talking of jingles, Kerry, it is time to check in on General Assets.
Site Talk.
Oh, can't you see? Curious in a shit on me.
There she blows.
Massively unnecessarily long.
Oh, no, it's great. It's great. Yeah, oh, it's all completely bizarre again on the drains front in Warbis Towers. Right now, downstairs in my kitchen, there is a massive sort of blue rectangular, like a lilo, on the kitchen floor, which is plugged into a machine, which is very noisy, that blows air into this lilo. And then there are holes in the bottom bit of the lilo. So it blows air onto the expanse of floor.
And Kerry, it's about 14 foot by 14 foot, isn't it? It's fucking enormous.
Yeah. I thought you were preparing an air mattress for my impending visit to the UK when you sent that to me.
Well, I don't think you want to sleep there, Matthew.
On the drain bed. And then there's another machine going at the same time, also noisy, which is a dehumidifier. So this bloke came round in the week and ripped up my lino.
Oh, hello.
And sort of disinfected everywhere. Yeah, there's my sex life again. And installed these machines. We've got to have these f***ing things on 24/7. So my electricity bill is going to be mental. We're not... Because it's our kitchen, living, dining room down in the basement. Obviously, we're not going to have the lilo blowing away whilst we're watching Love Island.
It'd be like being in Love Island, wouldn't it?
Yes. It's the closest I'll get anyway. So it's an entirely ridiculous situation in my home, which is...
Very sorry.
We're trying to just laugh through it because it is just so wrong.
Literally shits and giggles.
Yeah.
I felt bad, Matthew, because I realised that, you know, obviously we all check in on each other quite a lot, and I realised I just sort of thought everything was fine. It's such a bloody horrible thing to happen to you, and Kerry said 2 weeks of this in this weather. Anyway, oh, sorry, Kerry. Yeah. Shall we cleanse the palate with a bit of an advert?
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Oliver's kitchen burnt down. Kerry's is Kerry's is subsumed in a swamp of her own feces. I don't know. I'm trying to link into Oliver somehow.
That's good.
Anyway, so Oliver, what do we think is happening with him and Brad? Obviously, there was the very unpleasant little bit of gossip from George.
I was wondering whether Oliver's going to pay for Brad's summer school fees. Did you get that feeling?
I hope he doesn't, because I don't want George to be right. And I really don't want... I'm dreading Oliver overhearing one of these chats.
Yeah. It's not... He wouldn't have to pay for the summer school, will he? It's free. It's just everything else. It's the food and the travel. That Brad is having to pay for. But yeah, I get your point, Kerry, that he's going to... He might think that, because, you know, that little bit earlier in the week when he said, well, there's no point asking my mum because she wouldn't have money anyway, would she? And he stormed off. I was like, now he's going to say, oh, here you go, have some money. And I thought at the time, oh, no, he's doing that because of what George said. Mm. And he wasn't. He came back and apologised later. But then he came back tonight and he was like, he'd had his ass telly-handed to him. I don't know. Now he's kind of Oliver Sterling is our enemy. I just hope, I've just got this horrible feeling George is going to blackmail Oliver in some kind of horrible thing. I don't know what.
Really?
Like being over friendly or something like that.
Oh, that's good, Matthew. You're good at this sort of prediction.
You say I'm good at that, Kerry, but none of my predictions have ever come true.
Oh, I think, I'm sure they have.
I want Matthew's version of the Archers. Actually, yeah. slight segue. Matthew, have you found me particularly sexy today? Is there anything no different you notice about me? Is there any reason why you found me particularly alluring talking to me today?
I don't know. Have you, did you have a charcoal face?
I've been up cycling, Matthew.
Oh, sorry. I didn't notice.
Like your dreamboat Fallon, yeah. I've been painting some stalls. Look at that.
Ah, okay.
What, your own feces?
The cow, poor Kerry. This is a whole world now. It's like, oh yeah, it's pottery.
Your pottery is shit. Yes, it is.
Go and have a shower, Mum. Oh, okay.
By the way, Kerry, I did actually see 2 seconds of Love Island on Twitter, and I feel like I've seen everything I ever need to see ever.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah.
Where it was the guy where he just said, it was no big deal or anything, I just licked her tit. Gosh,
I love it. So,
okay, anyway.
So if people want to be on Team Matthew and Peter or Team Kerry when it comes to Love Island, presumably Twitter is a magnificent place to keep the debate going.
Yeah, at the Cider Shed Pod is where we are on Twitter. We've got 2,315 Twitter followers. Isn't that great?
Wow, people.
Yeah, lovely, lovely folk. So come and tweet along with us there. And you'll see little posts about voting for us on the British Podcast Awards Listener's Choice on Twitter. But yeah, if you can go to... Oh, God. That up, sorry.
Hey everyone, it's Peter, Kerry and Matthew from the future here. We're all dizzy with confusion. No, that's not true. Matthew's not dizzy with confusion. So anyway, Matthew, take it away. What can people do?
I think they can still vote for us in the Listener's Choice category for the podcast awards, because the voting closes at the midnight of the 17th, and that is midnight Sunday. So if you're listening to this on Sunday morning, what are you waiting for? Go and vote for the Cider Shed.
Yes. Create lots of new email addresses so that you can vote for lots of times.
So I'm just about to say something about Kerry and energy and doing something else about iTunes. So do that anyway. So do both. Thank you. Bye. people can take the enthusiasm that Kerry's just drummed up and move it across to iTunes, where they could write a 5-star review with words, then that would be amazing, so that Kerry's marketing efforts aren't wasted. And Matthew, if people want to see pictures of you topless, they can go to Instagram, right, and Facebook.
They can go to Instagram, yeah. It's the same handle as Twitter, the Cider Shed Pod. 467 followers now, which is keeps going up and up. Don't know where they all come from, the nutters. And we've got a Facebook group called the Cider Shed Podcast. You can find us there. Post up things that you think about the week, and I will chime in with some very inappropriate comments, as well as everyone else.
And please ping us an email at hello@thesidershed.com if you want to send us any feedback or get in touch, ask any questions or anything, and I will do my best to get back in touch. Well, guys, I'm away next week, so it's going to be Matthew and Kerry again. And also, it's going to be Matthew's birthday, so presumably a lot of limoncello and various other liqueurs will have been partaken in, and enjoy.
20 minutes of me telling everyone I love them, and Kerry will be discussing the Archers.
Yeah, so they could just, or if you don't want to listen, if you can't wait till next week, just listen to that clip of Matthew at the beginning from the festival again and again. Have a lovely week.
See you next week.
Take care, everyone. Take care, Kerry. Bye. Hang on.